Welcome to Nerdy for 30, the podcast where comedian Tim Keck and I talk about nerdy-ish things for 30-ish minutes. My name is Kevin Bauer, and today we're talking about RRR. This was our second audience vote result. This was the audience vote for November. It was up between this and Weird, the Al Yankovic story. You chose RRR. Gotta tell you, I'm glad you did. This movie is wild. Tim, what'd you think about this one?
This movie is insane, and I've been looking forward to watching it for the pod for a long time, and I'm so glad we did. This is, I want to say it's a little bit of a, I mean, it feels like a little tough to get through. It's 3 hours and 7 minutes. Is a commitment. It's a commitment to get through. That was always kind of kept me from watching it before because it seemed very intimidating, and it is intimidating. Even sitting through it, it feels like a 3-hour movie. And I feel like with a lot of these movies, I'm always nowadays I see a movie and I'm always like, that was good, but they could have cut 20 minutes. That was good. They could have cut like half an hour out of it. It would have been even better. I'm sure my brain is telling me they could have cut things from this movie, but my heart says there was nothing to cut. My heart says I needed to go on this journey with them. I needed all 3 hours with these two guys who are, I mean, I'm not too familiar with Indian movies, films. Mm-hmm. These are two of the most charismatic and talented human beings I might have ever seen in my life. Certainly in film in recent memory. This is these two guys doing this. What can't they do? They sing, they dance, they kick ass. They're emotional. They're both good actors. Like,
yeah,
God, even the minor parts that are played by like evil white characters, they're all great. All the actors are crushing it. You hate people. You love people. This is a journey and it's one worth going on, Kevin. That's my review. What did you think, Kevin?
I want all 3 hours. I don't know if the answer is that you chop this up and you make it like a Netflix miniseries of 3 episodes. I don't really want to see that. I think this movie was really enjoyable. There's a part in the middle. I was wondering if it was supposed to be a cut for intermission or something. I know that sometimes like Nemo saw Endgame over in Italy and he said that they inserted an intermission in the middle. So I know that sometimes other countries will do that if a movie passes a certain runtime. So I thought there maybe was one. I think that would be my ideal way to watch this movie is you're seeing it in theaters. There's an intermission in the middle. You get a break to go pee, you get more snacks, you come back in because the second half is just as fucking fired up as the first half. There's a point in the second half of this movie where I think it was when it was like Raju was fighting to save Beam, but Beam didn't know it. And so like Beam was still fighting against Raju and it was like this like really like gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching Shakespearean ordeal where these two characters, if they could just stop for a second and talk it out, would realize what's going on. But because of all the circumstances, they couldn't. Yeah. And in that moment, I was like, this is good, but the first half was fucking incredible. And then pretty much from that point forward, the second half just gets so much more insane than the first half did.
Yeah.
That I was like, there's no question the second half is the better half of this movie. It's unbelievable. It's undeniable. I'm so glad I watched this.
My God, I did like just crush it all. I did just watch 3 hours straight. I think I would probably advise people to just make it a two-nighter. You know, do an hour and a half and then come back the next night, finish the hour and a half. It's great. I mean, maybe I should have broken it up because it's all kind of blurring together for me. I don't really see them as two different halves. I see that as like one continuous, beautiful story, which like I wish mentally I could break it up a little bit more. But yeah, I don't know. It's fascinating. The relationship between the two characters is so good and so fascinating and so complicated. I mean, it feels really simple, right? And they have the music in that. We have to talk about the music in this, but they do a song when the brothers, I keep thinking of them as brothers, when the friends,
because they are Tim,
they are brothers. When they first meet and like they're clearly enemies, the movie is setting them up to be like, they hate each other. One is actively hunting the other and the other one is is trying to undermine the other's like whole job and purpose. And but both of their motives are like very good and pure ultimately. And they're both really good guys, kind of doing questionable things to get make the ends justify. And they're at odds. They're in conflict. But on a friendship level, they are perfect together. And the second they meet, they like hug under a bridge. And then it's just like a song of them becoming best friends. And they're like skipping and like take like giving each other piggyback rides and just like having a blast. And it's beautiful. And then that conflict comes to a head. The conflict, the inevitable conflict comes to a head. And I'm like, OK, so this is over. But then it's like not over because they're both weighing the like their friendship is that equal to the promises they've already made to like their families and their country? Can they save their friend and their countrymen like at the same like somehow it's so much more complicated than it should be. And it's amazing storytelling, Kevin. It's phenomenal. It's so good.
Dude, I'm beaming even just thinking about this. Their relationship is the most believable,
yes,
most wonderful, most joyous friendship I think I've ever seen in a movie. I'm looking at this and I'm like, man, if you wanted to do like a Heroes for Hire, Power Man and Iron Fist movie, right? You look at this movie and you do whatever you can to try to capture any of the energy of this movie. It's so funny. There's like that thing. They do such an incredible job of establishing who each of these guys are at the beginning of this movie. And then to have them connect with each other. And with the crisis that happens, I don't know why I'm trying to beat around the bush for spoilers. When the tanker explodes on the bridge, I still for a second thought that maybe when Raju saw Beam from on top of the bridge, maybe he had recognized him. Maybe there was some kind of thing where he was like trying to spring a trap on him. But no, it's these two strangers that just connect. They just get it. They don't need to say any words, gestures, just communicating through gestures. They know exactly what the other one means. They're able to pull off this incredible rescue and it just keeps going from there. The fight scene at the end of the movie, the escape scene.
Yes.
He's on his shoulders and they're running through. I mean, my God, they're the perfect team.
They're insane. They're so compatible. I feel like I was expecting the story to be more linear, like these guys are at odds. They're going to fight. They're going to resolve that. And they're going to become fast friends. I feel like that's the version we see the most. But instead, the movie raises the stakes for both of them, explains why they're enemies and they're at odds and they should be in conflict, and then introduces them and they have amazing chemistry and they're best friends forever. And then they have to like dig up this thing. I can't believe this worked. It seems like This shouldn't work, and it did. It worked beautifully. These guys have such good chemistry. I also thought it was very cool that both characters felt very unique to me. Mm-hmm. I guess I feel like, I don't know, they're both like action heroes. They're both badasses. They're both like the leaders of their group. Like the characters have so many similarities in like their wants. You know what I'm saying? Like if I'm comparing it to Lethal Weapon, one of the guys is like, you know, I'm crazy, I'm a loose cannon, I'm a lethal weapon, all I have is the job. And the other guy's like, get me to retirement. And like, those are their thesis statements. And then like their actions are like dictating those things. Whereas both of these guys, it feels like their personalities are like a bigger part of like their differences, as opposed to like, I don't know, their actions. I there's something about it that I'm like, they seem so similar. And then they also seem like complete opposites. Like, I like that one of them is like way more skilled and like fighting than but the other one is like clearly the stronger one. And like, is the physical better than that guy? The other one does like flips and is a better dancer. And then the other one is like better at this. The other one's a better womanizer. And then the other one is like, you know, a hero to his village or whatever it is. And I don't know. They keep comparing and contrasting these guys in a beautiful way where I don't know. I also think they'd butt heads for longer. I feel like thinking about this as like a buddy cop now, or like a rom-com even, there's supposed to be that point where they don't like each other. right, that they overcome, like in Lethal Weapon or in a buddy cop or in a rom-com, the characters meet, I don't like you, you annoy me, and then they grow to love each other. Whereas this is the opposite, where they just immediately love each other, and then it's about them like overcoming a hurdle in their relationship. Yeah. It's God, I just love it. I love it. It's stunning, Kevin. I don't even know.
Their conflict is based in their beliefs. So I think what is different there is it's not like there's something, it's not like the classic rom-com setup where it's like, oh, I saw so-and-so at a fancy restaurant with a girl in a dress. And then we know as the audience, like, oh no, that was his sister. And she right, just got stood right up on a date. That's why she was dressed for a date. But like, I can't talk to him again. It's centered in what they've been driving toward the entire movie. So there's that scene at the whipping post where it's like this insane scene. I don't know which one I want to give up. Beam has that wonderful song. It's like, ugh, it's just killing you to watch them be this at odds with each other. But they still have that similarity in that neither one of them is willing to buckle on their beliefs. And it's just like,
right,
it's an unmovable object and an unstoppable force or whatever.
Yes, exactly. They seem to have, I mean, I guess I keep thinking about Lethal Weapon because we might have a Lethal Weapon surprise coming up this year. Spoiler alert, but
don't tell them.
There's a difference. There's like, I feel like in a rom, like normally they'd be opposites. Like one is the go-getter. One of them wants to give up. Like one of them feels this way, the other one not. But you're right. These are both unmovable objects. These are both people with like the same work ethic, the same dedication, similar goals. They're both trying to save people. They're both heroes. And yet they come up with great ways to contrast them. And even the whipping scene, I don't understand how these like work, because like he's whipping him and I'm like, they can't keep doing this. It has to be over soon. And then they keep doing it. And then he falls and you're like, okay, that's the end of it. And it's not. And he gets up again and he whips him and it like keeps going and going. And if that's like kind of what this movie feels like, where you're like, it can't keep going. And then it does. And it's better because it's keeps going. Like, I don't know. I don't know how many other movies I've seen where like the fact that the torture scene kept going and going is like a pro. But that was beautiful. And then he's singing the song and the crowd's reacting to it. And Beam actively changes. I forget the other character's name. There's Beam.
Raju. Yeah.
Because that actor's name is Ram. And I'm pretty sure Beam also went by Ram. So I'm confusing myself with the cast list.
So Raju also went by Rama at some points. I think his name is like, It was on his name tag when he was in the military. And then the other one was Beam, but when he was under the assumed identity, he was Akhtar.
Okay. So Beam and Raju.
Right.
Oh my God. I just lost my train of thought, but it was like, Beam changes Raju's mind because of his dedication, which you feel like you shouldn't be able to change his mind because they're both immovable objects. So how is it possible for one to move the other? It's beautiful. I mean, I don't know. And then I've been listening to music nonstop. I'll be honest. There's like three songs in this movie that absolutely slap. And I'd be lying if I haven't listened to them. If I said I haven't been listening to them multiple times, I mean, I'll be thinking about that scene forever. It's so amazing.
Yes. It's the coolest shit in the world. I keep thinking about how cool that would be as like entrance music. We always talk about like WrestleMania entrance music.
Yeah.
If either one of these guys ever showed up at a wrestling, like any kind of a wrestling event, I would lose my mind.
It's incredible.
Can we talk about the action in this movie? Because I am not normally that swayed by action sequences. But when the action sequences are like the action sequences in this movie, I don't know how you cannot be swayed by them. It was absolutely flat out incredible. I don't understand how you can work for a Hollywood studio and be loosely aware that a movie like this exists and not do everything in your power to try to steal whoever did the like fight choreography for this movie to come work at Marvel or come work at DC. I mean, my God.
It's that even like the shoulder carry thing, though, you're talking about. I think this might be like a I keep wanting to use the term Bollywood. I looked it up. This isn't actually a Bollywood movie, which we could get into. It's like it's a Tollywood movie, which I think is interesting because I do want to talk about the language in this. And I guess it's a different region of India that is creating this movie. So it's not a Bollywood movie. But I feel like that's something that in America would have to be comedy. You would have to be treated as a ridiculous thing. And that would be the point. It would be a joke. It would be a bit. But somehow him getting on the shoulders, I'm just like mouth open, like, fuck yes. I'm kind of laughing, but it's excited laughing at like how ridiculous it is. And I just don't know if that exists in like an American movie. I don't know what the difference is, but the line that this movie plays with like reality, like surreal, it just kind of crosses this line. Like there's a musical number in the middle of like a pretty serious movie that this guy sings. And I'm like, can everybody else hear him singing or is he singing to? And then like the audience is moved by his song. And it somehow walks this line of like fantastical and like grounded in a way that's like, I don't know. I can't even think of another movie. I certainly can't think of an American movie that walked that line like that same way. It's fascinating. I have a huge catalog of movies to get into, Kevin. I have to get into this. I have to explore these.
Please do. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant to reference on the podcast.
No,
right
not now. I'm saying like this is now, I think this is a new passion of mine. I think I need to deep dive these RRR, what else is like, you know, action movies and just get into the genre a little bit more because it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic.
Do you have IMDb pulled up right now?
No.
Okay. I was wondering just because this was released on Netflix in the United States, I meant to go back and check if the person that shows up in The Gray Man is one of these guys. Because if it is, again, immediately makes that scene better for me.
Oh.
But
The governor, for some reason, I looked really familiar to me. Is that the guy you're thinking of?
No, yeah. I was just wondering if it was either Raju or Beam. I mean, I haven't seen The Gray Man since we watched it. We'll probably never watch it again.
I don't think
so. Netflix picks a lot of the same people.
I think they're big in India and not necessarily over here. I mean, they both seem to have like a pretty dense catalog of Indian movies, but of Tollywood movies specifically. And it's great. So I keep saying Tollywood. I think Bollywood is like Northern India, and I think that I could be getting all this wrong, but I think Northern India they speak Hindi, and then in Tollywood is referencing it caters to the Telugu. I'm gonna mess all this up. The Telugu language, which is the main language in two Indian states, Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. I'm doing a terrible job of this, but the point is this is like a specific region of India that's creating a specific genre movie in a specific language that is specific to this region in India, right? And so when I first started watching this movie on Netflix, I was watching the dubbed version. It just defaulted to dubbed. And then they started doing all these like language jokes with this like English woman. And I was like, I can't follow this at all because they're all just speaking English to each other. And I can't tell if they're joking or what. And then I was like, oh, there are other options. The only other option is like Hindi. And so I started watching in Hindi, but then I'm reading now, I'm doing research on it. And apparently the like director is pissed off at Netflix that they're only streaming, that they're streaming the Hindi version. They're not streaming like the native language of this group. So it's just this, I don't know. It's fascinating. I'm going to have to look more into it and encourage people to look into it. But just the way language is like used as like a joke and a bit in this, and like the bigger like sociopolitical issues of like Netflix streaming this film in one language that isn't even the original language this was filmed in, it's crazy. I mean, this is crazy. I don't know. It's weird. It seems very weird, very complicated. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I don't really know what to say on it. I don't know what my commentary is on this, but
we're definitely not the people to unpack this. I don't think either one of us has any kind of situational awareness on this situation.
No, but I mean, I would like to hear it in whatever language it was filmed in. I'd 100%. Like to hear if it's filmed in a specific region with a specific language. I mean, people are just calling this Bollywood, and I think maybe this language is because of Bollywood. But if you like look into this, it's not. It's from a completely specific region. And I think I'm just also kind of commiserating about my own ignorance of India in general, but like certainly Indian cinema. I had no idea. I thought Bollywood was just all of India. And then there's all these different regions of it creating these different media groups and different languages. I don't know. It's all just like way more. I don't know. I guess I just feel like an idiot for just kind of lumping it all into one category when it is way more complicated and diverse and has way more to offer than what I've thought of it in the past. This might be the first Indian movie I've even watched, and I have to see more. I think I absolutely have to watch more.
I think this was for me as well. I've definitely seen clips on Reddit of like insane fight scenes and action sequences, and I've never disliked a single one. The thing about it is that there's definitely a distinctly different style to it. And I think that's a real failure and a real, it feels like a conceitedness from American cinema or like a selfishness from American media to kind of have this attitude of like, if it wasn't made in America, it's not worth watching. Like if it's not a Hollywood production, it's not worth watching. When in reality, there is so much going on. There's so many styles of filmmaking and approaches to doing these types of scenes that, you know, I grew up in Sandusky, Ohio. Like I didn't have exposure to this kind of stuff. I mean, the like Hollywood Video near us didn't have that kind of stuff. We didn't have Bollywood movies on tap, so we couldn't see it. And then you get a little bit older, and like I think for a lot of people at the birth of the internet as a thing that could be easily accessed with broadband in people's homes, I think a lot of people our age got into anime as kind of their first touch of something from outside of like American culture. And then I know when we first got an expanded cable package, it had BBC on it. So suddenly I could watch British shows. And even if you look at British shows, there is a very different feel to the way that the BBC makes things and produces shows. So you can tell if something you're watching is English or if it's American. So like the fact that there is all this out there, I guess I'm right there with you. This movie exposed to me that there is so much more out there that we haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg with because we're too focused on watching Black Adam. And like, there's no question that this is a better movie than Black Adam. There's no world in which Black Adam is a better movie than this.
Why am I watching Black Adam when there is clearly a catalog of better action movies in foreign film? I mean, it's like, it's crazy.
Do you think part of it is like, I think part of the issue might be the fact that American audiences haven't been trained to watch things that are subtitled or dubbed, but were produced in a different language, because I remember that being a big hurdle that people had with Parasite. They're like, oh, this movie is a genuine contender for the Oscar, but I'm going to have to read for 2 hours. Where I think just the nature of Hollywood being as huge as it is and English being like this thing that spread everywhere on the planet, it's like for probably worse, not better. I think it's a situation where people in other cultures are more used to consuming American media than we are of consuming any kind of culture that's not American.
It's not reciprocal.
Not at all. No. Like it's extremely common. Again, this is just showing what my frame of reference is here. It's extremely common to watch an anime and have the characters be in English class at a young age where they're all learning how to speak English. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like we had to fight to have a Spanish program at my high school. Like the fact that we offered a French program was like, ooh, oui, good for you. Like the idea that people would just be taught English compulsory is like, it's crazy. There's no way like that the American way would allow us to like draw another culture so close. It's like this weird protectiveness toward like homegrown America.
Yeah. And I think it's just not even knowing it's out there. Right. Like I think we're both pretty open to like new media and stuff. And I just was ignorant of it, you know, and I don't know. This makes me think of food because I had my parents came to visit a little while ago, and I'm from, you know, Satellite Beach, Florida, Countdown County, baby, which is a very homogenous, boring, white beach neighborhood. And everything in Florida is a chain. You're not introduced to like interesting foods. There's no like great chefs making a name for themselves in Florida. It's like we even come up here and like I get like we got like dumplings and it was like we got like fried dumplings and steamed dumplings. My parents didn't touch the steamed dumplings because they don't know what it is. They don't have no context for a steamed dumpling. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm crushing these. I love these. But it kind of made me it sadly made me feel pretty proud of myself. I'm like, oh, so I'm like way more cultured. I just have way more exposure just being in New York and being introduced to other cultures. And then the more you even get that, the more like I feel like I don't know anything about Japanese cuisine. And we went to a place that had rice balls. And my mom was like, I'm so proud of myself for trying this new thing. And it's a bowl of rice with a little piece of fish in it. And I'm like, this is nothing. I'm so ignorant of Japanese culture and Japanese cuisine. But her mind's blown by like the starter. So it's like I am farther than that. I don't know. It's just like an interesting thing of like simultaneously being proud of my progress and cultural awareness while still being struck by how ignorant I am of like all the foods that are out there, all the cinema that are out there. I mean, this could be this felt like a really eye-opening moment to me.
Dude,
I don't know.
You know what? You're right, man. We did the work. We're ready to talk about Indian geopolitics. Let's go. Wind it back.
I don't know. I love this so much. It was so great. I feel like there's so much more out there. Like, I feel like I went on a renaissance when it was like John Wick makes a lot of references to Korean like fight movies, like The Raid, Raid 2. They did that same group did like By Night. There's some great movie on Netflix that has like the most amazing fight scenes and fight choreography ever. That are coming out of there. And that opened like a whole new world to me. It's just like, it's crazy what else is out there, especially in a world in like America where it's like everything is a Marvel movie, which we both love, but it's also crazy that there's other things to watch. It's mind blowing.
It's fucking bonkers that American cinemas are willing to put Uncharted in before RRR. Like, I wish there was a cinema chain where the entire premise of it was that you could go and they are showing you the best movies from all over the world right now. Not just what came out in America this weekend, what came out anywhere this weekend. Like,
The year Parasite won, I saw that like really early because shout out Trevor Lyon. He was like, we got to go see this movie. And it was showing in New York. But if you're not in New York, unless it gets Oscar buzz. Also, how would it even get Oscar buzz? You know how hard it is for a movie like that to get Oscar buzz? It was the best movie I'd seen all year, but that's not a movie that was in theaters. Certainly not in my hometown. You had to, we're lucky enough to be in New York where like we are exposed to anything like that, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know. I cut you off.
Oh no, I was just going to say, it kind of depends on the theater. Like same deal at Ohio State. There was the campus theater just happened to be run by really cool film lovers. So they would bring in some things like The Secret of Kells, which is like a really lovely Irish animated film, and this French horror collection that was all in black and white called Fears of the Dark. And like occasionally we would get little hits of that kind of stuff. But even thinking about it now, I'm sure there's probably, I mean, knock on wood post-pandemic, I'm sure there's probably someone that was screening RRR here. But the first thing that came to mind in terms of like who's playing international cinema was Metrograph, which is a beautiful theater that is so pretentious. Like you're getting like full on like film school nerds are probably like, oh, this was a bit much. So like it's kind of hit and miss what you can get there. But like, I don't know. I love this movie so much. It definitely made me want to open up my boundaries more. This also made me want to give a shout out while we're talking about things that we've enjoyed from other countries. There is a Korean TV show called Strong Girl Dobongsoon that is wonderful. I highly recommend it to anybody that watched RRR and liked it. It's very much a comedy, but it shares something that I noticed in this too, where it's like that commitment to taking whatever's happening on screen, even if it's ridiculous, completely seriously, that is so fun. And I think, like you said, we the only way that we would ever see that played in an American movie is if it was played as a straight comedy. You mentioned the thing about the shoulders fight scene being played as a comedy. I think the only similar thing I've ever seen was in Everything Everywhere All at Once, where it's the fanny pack fight, and it is a comedy. So, like, I don't know, man. The fight, as for the fight scenes, though, like, if they took, both of these guys were functionally like Steve Rogers. Like, they basically both had like Captain America level abilities.
Yes.
Maybe Beam a little bit more, because there's that scene where he like ripped.
I mean, they're borderline superheroes. One of them is like ripping a concrete cell like out of the floor.
Yeah.
Like, they are, these guys are superheroes when they're fighting.
For sure.
And God, that scene, dude. The scene with the truck with all the animals, when they break in and it turns and they do a slow-mo of Beam jumping out of it in like war paint, and all the animals are jumping out and they like show it in slow motion. I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. I am losing my shit watching this.
Well, we talked about,
and then they hit the ground. Right. And I'm like, has he trained all of these wild animals? No. He has these torches. He's holding the torches because he needs to scare the animals away from him so they attack other people and cause chaos. So it's like, on one level, it's ridiculous that it's turning. It's in slow-mo. He's flying out. All these animals are simultaneously jumping out at the same time. And then it's immediately like, oh, but I need to, they're animals though, so I need to, it's like grounding it again. Like, I need to scare, I need to manipulate them into doing these things. They're not just like listening. They're not, it's not like like a Disney movie or something where I'm whistling to them and they're like doing my hair.
Right.
Like, these are wild animals that I have to, that I was fighting and catching in a cage like earlier in the movie. And I have to like scare, it was just the combination of like surreal and then like kind of grounding it immediately was like, it's beautiful. I mean, it's chef's kiss. It's incredible.
It was great. And it's so funny. We talked last week about Black Adam being a situation where ideally with that character, you're doing the wrong thing for the right reason. And this is a better example than anything we saw in Black Adam. Releasing all those wild animals and onto that lawn is a better example of doing something that's vicious, but like justified. Like, he's doing it for the right reason. The people, obviously, you know, a lot of those are the straight up colonizers holding guns, but there are also some people that are complicit because they're part of the problem, but aren't physically holding a rifle like his Beam's love interest in the movie. I forget what her name is, but like she was around in there. So theoretically there are a couple of people around in there that are like, oh boy. Well, you know, if a couple of these guys have to die so that the tigers can take out a lot of soldiers, it's good. Which is like,
they're quote unquote innocent, but they're complicit in the oppression of.
You know. I want to make very clear that they are not innocent people. it was so fucking good. That opening, the first action scene in the movie where he launches into that mob to pull out that one fucking guy. That's where I'm saying, God. Like, get that fight choreographer on Captain America New World Order, because if you let Sam Wilson have a fight scene like that, everybody is on board with Sam Wilson again. Like, holy shit, dude.
You're right. That's an example. When you said that, I was kind of thinking of like the high flying, like on the shoulders. But you're right. That first scene of him just brawling. I mean, that was. Yeah, that's the kind of thing you see in international film. But like, I don't know what the equivalent of that is in America. What's the equivalent of that super long, dragging out, grueling fight scene where it just keeps going and going? It's like one guy getting beat down and like fighting his way back up. Like, I don't know. I feel like this whole pod made me sound like an ignorant asshole, but you know, I feel like I don't have enough knowledge to talk about any of this stuff, but I'm like, Maybe people listening to this are like, oh, there's this is so common and there's tons of movies like this. But that, you're 100% right. Sam Wilson is a fight scene like that away from being Captain America.
An icon, like iconic.
A legend. And why can't they do that in a Marvel movie? Maybe it's too real.
I don't know, because I wonder if it comes down to suspension of disbelief, because it definitely, like, beggars belief that this person that theoretically doesn't have any superpowers in the narrative of this movie would be able to fight off that many people. But we see a lot of that shit all the time with like Jason Bourne's the greatest fighter alive, and he's just mowing down wave after wave of people. So I think it plays. I think people would be into it. I would love to see it.
I mean, you mentioned Wildcat last week.
Yes.
As like a character. That seems very Wildcat to me, where he's like a beat up boxer and he's go. I mean, I guess like Daredevil's TV show is like pretty close. They've done similar things where it's like this guy's on his last legs. Like,
yeah,
these like street level superheroes could really benefit from a look at this stuff. And like, I would love to see it. And I guess I think they've kind of done that with Daredevil. I mean, yeah, I mean, for whatever the next Batman is, the next version of Batman and like fighting out of Arkham Asylum and just going through a grueling battle where his mask is broken and he's like broken and beat down, but is still beating the shit out of these guys for like 15 minutes would be like the most insane thing I've ever. If we got a Batman equivalent of that fight scene, I don't think I'd ever wake up. I would just, I would black out. I would ejaculate everywhere and I would sleep for days. It would be the most, I don't know what would be better than that. Honestly. Oh,
sign me up. There was this Green Arrow movie that was in pre-production for forever and never ended up happening called Supermax. And the premise was that there is a Supermax prison that they send superpowered villains to. And it's basically Alcatraz, but for a bunch of people that used to fight Batman. And all superheroes, for the most part, are vigilantes. So the premise was that Green Arrow got picked up and was sentenced for his vigilante activity and was sentenced to the Supermax facility because he doesn't have any direct superpowers, but clearly his abilities make him like differently, like especially strong and all that, or especially capable. So then I think the plot of the movie was supposed to be that it was Green Arrow breaking out of the Supermax facility, or that there was some kind of like a jailbreak that was happening and Green Arrow had to take down everybody in the prison and make his way out. And the whole thing was supposed to be this like odyssey where he is just clearing out different cell blocks of supervillains that he's trapped in there with. I, as a huge fan of Green Arrow, I'm so sad that this never came to be, but yeah. If they did it like this, I mean, it could have been the amazing best superhero movie.
It sounds
of all
tough
time.
For like, it sounds tough for like an intro to a character, but I'm even like Robert Pattinson's Batman. If the next Batman was him having to fight in his way out of Arkham, or yeah, go through what you were to get into a Supermax and then like get out and like is running out of like batarangs and has to like make things, like, oh my God, that'd be awesome. It'd be so good.
It'd be
so
incredible. Cool. The last thing that I want to bring up, and I don't even have that much constructive to say about it. I just need to make sure it gets mentioned on this pod. When Raju has the flaming arrow.
Yes.
That entire fight scene in the end was breathtaking.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. The grenade arrows.
Oh
incredible.
My God.
The spear work. Outrageous.
Leaping onto the horse, and the horse is already going full speed next to this motorcycle that beams
on. The horse
on.
And the motorcycle jumping up, like riding again to each other. So amazing. It's so great. It's so great.
If you haven't watched this movie and you're listening to this podcast, watch it. It's worth it. You're going to have a great time. We didn't even really touch on a lot of the melodrama that happens. Oh, it's just wonderful.
Do you think motorcycle horse, do you think the right character was on the right mode of transportation?
No, I don't.
Yeah. That's what I thought the whole time. And now I've kind of come around to it, but Beam is like the animal guy.
Yeah.
So why isn't
he
riding the horse?
He's thematically a tiger, right?
Right. So you'd think he'd be with an animal, but why is he on the motorcycle? But then the other guy is more skill and he's more of a brute force, gas powered individual. I don't know. It makes sense, but it's another thing where I guess the characters seem so similar in some ways where like, I don't know, but like one of them's into animals. Why doesn't he get the animal? I don't know. But it also works. It also works the way it did.
Yeah. You know, he's a mechanic. My final thing for the movie, I'll say
he's a mechanic. I forgot the whole mechanic part. Of course, he's on a motorcycle. That was dumb for me to even say.
Hey, I was thinking the same thing though. But Beam, when they cut to him working as a mechanic after the scene of him taking down that tiger, he is so good at playing the dynamic of a superhero and a secret identity. I was like, what is this, a flashback? This is the same guy. He's so meek. He just took down a tiger. Like, watching him in those scenes doesn't seem like he could possibly be this like crazy, brutal, vicious fighter. He sells
it. Oh, I don't think I recognized him. I was like, oh, that must be another guy. Like, I was like, these can't be the same character. This guy was shirtless in the woods, like fighting a tiger, and now he's here.
It's a complete tonal shift. He's so like compliant and polite. And it's just like, this guy just fucked up a tiger. Like, he's taking orders from this guy. He's nervous
to talk to the girl. I mean,
These
guys are incredible actors. I mean, it's also kind of crazy that we didn't get to hear it in like their native language. Like, why didn't we get to hear it in the language they're acting in? I'm sure it would be even better, you know, if we. These are two of the most talented people I've ever seen in my life. These guys are amazing. It's crazy. Nah. To fight like that, I'm sure they're not actually singing, but to dance like that, to move like that, even to act like that. They're both incredible actors. Ah, man, I laughed. I cried. I learned something. Words of Jimmy Valvano. That's a full day right there, baby.
That's a full day. That's a full day, and that's a full pod. Did you watch RRR? What did you think? Let us know. Send us an email, nerdyfor30@gmail.com. If you're going to get out there and get on social media, go ahead, tweet at whoever's distributing this. Tweet at Netflix. Say, release the original language cut.
Yes.
We got to hear this film as it was originally intended to be heard. We're going to be back here next week talking about Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Very excited for that. That'll be a great time. Until then, stay nerdy, ladies and gentlemen.
Stay nerdy.
Bye.